CliffCentral.com. On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the good stuff, Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brent Lenneke, the good things guy. You guys are live on www.cliffcentral.com as well as Facebook Live right now. I've got you guys there. You're all tuned in. You're having a look at what's happening backstage. We're going to give you a little idea of what's going on today. You know, there's a lot going on in the world that is incredibly... Our world is broken. And to watch what is happening on the news and on mainstream media is incredibly debilitating. It's incredibly debilitating. I can't even say it. My words are not coming out today. So, you know, mainstream media, you need to know what's going on in the news. You need to have a good insight as to what's happening in our country and the world. But my honest belief is that you need to have a balance as well. You need to have this outlook where as much as you're gaining the mainstream media news to know what's going on in our world, at the same time, you need to also be filling your mind with the good news stories that are happening around us. So I never, ever, ever want anyone to think that I live with rose-tinted glasses on. What has happened in Manchester, my mom doesn't allow me to swear on air or on video, but it's fucked up. And there's children that have been harmed, and it's incredibly sad, and it breaks my heart. You know, there's many things in the world that just are wrong, and something like that is... It's shocking and heartbreaking and terrible. And my thoughts and prayers go out to the families and to anybody that was affected by what happened at the Aria Grande concert last night. I'm sorry for fucking humans. It's terrible. Today I'm going to try and find good things in the world and in our space and where we are to concentrate on and to sort of make us a little bit more inspired, give a little bit of positivity and hopefully change your outlook just in life, really. We have a show that we've put together today for you. We concentrate on the good stuff, and that's why the show is called The Good Stuff. You're on cliffcentral.com, and the reason I'm saying that for those of you that are tuned in is because you're also on Facebook Live. So the show is still proudly brought to you by Play Your Part, an initiative by Brand South Africa. Kerry and I get to chat to the girls from Love Life, Gift Life today, an amazing group of humans in South Africa that are changing the flipping world. They have all been recipients of organ donation, and they're just changing the way we see it in South Africa. So we're going to get to chat to them about their experience, their life, why we should be involved, and why you should be an organ donor, because that's important. Lara Gear pops in. It's a girl that I met when I was a little bit boozed at Beer House. She sings really well, and we're going to bring her... Was it Beer House or was it Four Ways Farmers Market? It was at Farmers Market. So we've got them in studio. They're going to play a little tune for us, which we're quite excited for. And then Huddle Up Girls are also in studio. It is the first of the month, and that's what happens. We bring Paige and Kirsten every first of the month. If you want to join the conversation, you can tweet us, cliffcentral.com, Brent Lindeke, send a message via our official WeChat account or the WhatsApp 079-748-2090. Next to me, for those of you that can't see... Oh yeah. Beep, beep, beep. There's Kerry. What's happening, Kerry? You got to speak into the microphone, though.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's happening?
Hopefully, good stuff, yeah.
It's Tuesday. We're in studio. We're at Cliff Central. We're hanging out with you guys, and we're just really speaking about good things and good things happening in the world. One of the things that I want to bring up, I don't know if you've heard about it yet or if you've seen...
Tell me
if you've seen the review of the Justin Bieber concert.
About the dad.
The Cape Town dad that went to watch.
Watch the Biebs.
He went to the Biebs concert. What do you know about Justin Bieber?
What do I know about Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
He's young. He's arrogant. The girls love him.
Yeah. we've got people that are tuning in and they're asking me questions. I sound so deep. This is what you call a radio voice, Jason Greer and Mike Sharman. This is welcome to the good stuff on Cliff Central. They're sending messages asking why my voice is so deep. Because that's how you roll when you're on radio, yo. Don't you have a radio voice?
Hey, or is that maybe because you're doing it on a different
Is it deeper than normal? See, Kerry doesn't
know. I think it's just because you've got a lot more energy today.
A lot more energy, a lot more going on. Actually, Kerry, I want to get into the top five.
Okay.
Because every week we bring you the top five good news stories that you should be tuning into. Top five. Let's see, I can count to five. I just have man flu voice. Every man has a man flu voice, Mark. That's how we roll. Okay, so every week we bring you the top five good news stories. The reason for that is because there is more that's happening in the world than just what you see on mainstream media. And a lot of people don't know about the good stuff that's happening. I have a website called goodthingsguide.com. Tune in. It's where we share good news articles all day. And Kerry gets all the news from there. She chooses the articles. So it's quite well audited.
Definitely.
and she's going to bring you the top five good news stories. Kerry, what do we have at number five?
Turning seawater into drinkable water, a new South African desalination plant is officially up and running.
Let me ask you, why did you choose that as a good news story?
Why did I choose it?
Tell me
because
why.
Because we followed the drought.
Yes.
Okay. We have issues. In Cape Town, there is a drought.
Well, they announced yesterday that it's now a crisis.
It's a crisis.
The Western Cape is in crisis mode because there is no water. The dams have run out. I saw someone post on Facebook a little while ago that the water that you're drinking out of your taps, I don't know how true this is, so don't hold me to it, but the water that is coming out of your taps in the Western Cape is non-drinkable right now. It's not drinkable because of the crisis. It's a crisis.
So, the reason I chose this story is because it's giving South Africans hope. They've come up with obviously new technology. The Department of Water and Sanitation recently launched the critical Richard Bay desalination plant.
It's like the fifth or sixth one in the country, right? I didn't even know that we had them.
Oh.
I didn't even know that we had them.
They've been working on them for years, though.
A desalination plant basically takes salt water. And it gets put through a whole process and osmosis and all sorts of things that happen. And then it becomes drinkable water, otherwise known as potable water, that you can physically drink, which is really flipping cool. And that one's come online after a little bit of hiccups. Yeah. And I had some South Africans that were commenting on the article going, there's problems there and it's not working and it's really crazy. But here's the reality. The one in Australia, exactly the same. It is what it is. At least they're trying to do something to try and make things better. Before we get into number four, I just need to say this is Kerry Stain. Kerry Stain is my co-host. Birdie Smith has just asked, who's the lady friend? I missed the introduction.
Hey.
Our lady friend is Kerry Stain. She is my co-host on The Good Stuff. What do we have at number four?
Number four. So I'm gonna try and do my Afrikaans here. Heroic claim by is claim.
Heroic claim by
parking lot. No, I'm just kidding. Parking attendant saved two youngsters from drowning. So the parking attendant that saved two young men from drowning was presented a letter of appreciation from the National Sea Rescue Institute.
He was watching cars, right?
So but he's an informal car guard. So
informal car guard, watching cars, checking out what's going on near the beach, near Blouberg. And all of a sudden, there were kids drowning. It was really bad. He dived in. He saved them. Is it the NSI? How do you say it?
NSRI.
The NSRI then gave him a certificate and told him that he's lekker and that we're well done. And what the community have said is they need to train him how to be a lifeguard.
Definitely.
Because that's obviously something that he could be really good at.
He also had a flotation device. He took his flotation device that day to work.
Yenda.
So he was on standby watching the cars with his flotation device.
We're all just waving at the Facebook Live. There's people tuning in.
Smile and wave.
Thank you all for tuning in. You rock. This is number three. It's the only top good news chart show in South Africa.
It is indeed.
That you're listening to. So this is what we have at number three. We do put these stories up online afterwards where you can find them. What do we have at number three?
10-year-old differently abled cyclist takes on Neisner Cycle Tour 50-kilometer road race. So
he's the youngest cyclist in South Africa that's differently abled.
Yes.
And I hate the word disabled. That's why they're differently abled, because he's still abled.
Yes.
Abled, and he's doing it. And there's some oaks that I know that are 32, 33, 34 that can't even ride a bicycle.
No.
So this kid is cycling, and he's doing good things, and it's flipping amazing.
And Zach has been cycling for the last 3 years on a custom-built hand cycle. And
so pretty much since he was seven.
Yes. And this is insane. I mean, he won gold in the Otanika Wheelchair Challenge 3 times and has ridden Cape Town Cycle Junior Tour twice. Recently did the Gun Run.
Jeepers.
And I don't get on a bike. This
really
is amazing.
Flipping
well
incredible.
Done,
we're going to put all of those stories up online so that you can read them and you can see the photos and you can see the videos and all of those good things.
And follow them.
Follow them. What do we have at number 2? Oh, I'm excited about this one. What do we have at number 2?
The world's largest orphanage will be opening its doors in Turkey tomorrow morning. Which should be around now,
a week ago.
To 990 children left behind by the Syrian war. This is a town.
Yeah. It's they've built a city for the Syrian refugee kids.
Yes.
So that they can get a place of safety. They say that perhaps during the time of war, those most affected are the children.
Exactly.
And it's because they lose parents and they go through all those processes, but at the same time they're so young and their minds and what shapes them is traumatic and what they've been through is traumatic.
Mm.
I'm going to get this wrong, but I think the Syrian war has been going on for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's quite a long time and there's a lot of people that have been left behind because of it. And Turkey, as you know, I was there. I was lucky enough to be there a couple of weeks ago. Beautiful. It's just Turkey is absolutely incredible. I can't wait to go back. And especially now, I'd love to go visit the orphanage. It's the world's biggest orphanage has been built.
Incredible. It looks beautiful.
And they're going to be looking after 990 children. And what's really beautiful is their mantra, their mission, their goal is to give the kids the opportunity to make their dreams a reality, whatever their future
dreams might
be.
To
give them a future. We're going to put the photos up, the story up online so you can catch that as well. What are we on now? Number one.
Yes.
What do we have at number one? Number one story for the week.
A cyberbullying advert created by South Africans is winning international awards and should be something we all watch and show our kids. This 60-second video blew me away.
Well, it's simple.
It's so simple.
And the thing is that they only had the creatives that did it only had 48 hours to come up with it, to design it, to put all the video together, to do all those good things that they needed to do. And they did it, and they're now up for like the 48-hour What Can Award.
Yes.
And they're South African. They're flipping South African. So cool.
I think
so
it's amazing.
Cool. We're going to put all of those stories up online so that you can catch them, so that you can see what is trending in the world. I implore you to go visit goodthingsguy.com. We've got good news. We publish stories all day on the platform. It's just constant. And it's super cool. It's exciting to have you guys here from Facebook Live. If you want to follow the rest of the show, because I can't do the whole show on Facebook Live. It will just eat up all your data. Yes. If you guys want to get the full show, come and visit us at cliffcentral.com. We're on for another 40 minutes. We got really cool interviews. Fawn Rogers from Love Life Gift Live is coming in the next couple of seconds. And we're going to get to chat to her about the good things that they're doing. Check you later. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. So, Kerr, I don't know what I'm doing now because I've sort of unplugged
you. You were talking about Biebs.
No, we're done with that.
Are we done with Biebs?
I'm done with the Biebs. We're going to put that review up so you guys can see it.
What about Men Are Trash?
Well, that's another thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
talk to me about that because you're a man.
I'm glad you brought that up, and it's important for me as a man to be speaking about the hashtag Men Are Trash.
Yes.
Because men are trash.
Okay.
Our society has just allowed our national conversation to become one that is sexist and homophobic and disgusting. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting.
Revolting.
And if we can't see it, if we can't see that there's people around us that we allow to converse like that, then we are the problem.
Mm.
So that's why I say, if people are going to be rude, if they're going to be bullies, if they're going to be all of those things around me, then I'm going to stand up to them because I will not stand for it. Over the weekend, Facebook page Super Rugby, they wrote a lovely little piece about the Lions.
My hair is standing up.
The Lions beating the Bulls. And they publicly stated that someone needs to phone the SPCA because the Lions have raped the Bulls in public. I say that again. Raped the Bulls in public is what they thought was a great thing to put on their Facebook page that is followed by thousands. I got tagged in it. People were tagging me in it. We need to change something. We need to do something. We need to whatever. I didn't, though, because I didn't want to get involved. It had nothing to do with me. And that's my problem. I thought that it had nothing to do with me. When actually, bigger than that, it did. It was my responsibility to put whoever that was in their place. And not just mine, because I can't change the world, but together we can.
Yes.
And if more people stand up to stuff like that, then we can make a difference. So we did, and people were commenting, and they were like, that's rude, how dare you, that's terrible, you better apologize. And the Super Rugby Facebook group...
And mostly men.
Super Rugby Facebook, yeah, mostly men were complaining. They were like, that's wrong. The Super Rugby Facebook group decided to do something absolutely phenomenal. Eyes rolling, sarcastic voice there. They edited their status and then deleted all of the comments. Are you joking?
Yeah, because nothing stays in cyberspace.
Well, it's fantastic. We reported on it, and the feedback that we got was nothing short of amazing, nothing short of positive for doing good and standing up against what's flipping wrong. When we get back, we're going to have someone who's very right in the studio, which I'm excited about. This thing's still doing this. It's not a lacquer connection. I don't know what's going on here. Let's see if this works quickly.
We're plugging in.
So we're in a studio... We're in a studio, it's a new studio, and some of the buttons and things we're still figuring out. I'm checking if this is going to work. Let's see if I can do this properly. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. And no, it doesn't work, so that's exciting. Don't even know what to do with this. It's okay. We're going to find...
Here you go, something happened.
We're gonna, I don't even know. The auxiliary, my producer's come in here now, she's trying to sort this out. Unfortunately, our auxiliary cables are not working. It makes a really bad sound. Is that AUX 2? Okay, cool. So now I know what to do. We're just messing around here. If you would stick and hold on to us while we just test out the equipment. Ooh.
There you go.
We'll try that again. I'm so glad
we're
that you
plugging
guys...
We're in.
I'm so glad that you guys are with us even when things aren't working. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. Yes, man. This is the news. This is the song I've been wanting to play all week. Like, I wanted you guys to hear this. I've been listening to this song on replay.
Who is that?
I'm supposed to be a radio DJ. Selena Gomez.
Really?
That's Selena Gomez.
It doesn't even sound like her.
But she's trying.
She's trying.
I like it. I like her. I like the good stuff. All right, so every week we get to bring in people into the studio, and I know that a lot of you are tuned in today to specifically listen to this interview. I've seen it all over social media. I've never been so inundated with tags and shares and tweets and all of those good things. Actually, I got a tweet from Travis now. So I just need to say that. I must add that Super Rugby with the ER and Super with the PA are different. Winky face.
Oh, right.
That's what he said. So
okay.
Just so we know that we're not lambasting the wrong flippant group. Okay. So enough about that. Thanks, Travis, for interrupting the show. We've got two girls who form a foursome of just really phenomenal human beings in studio with us. Their initiative, their organization is called Love Life. Gift Life, and you know, we'll get into the nitty gritty of why it matters and why it matters to me. But we've got Ford and Shay in studio with us, hanging out on the good stuff. Welcome, girls.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome to the show. They're sitting in the Cliff Central studios with us, and we're here to chat a little bit about why organ donation and organ donors and the whole organ donation field matters. I think that's super, super important. So I'm going to start with a bit of a preface, a preamble to why it matters to me. A couple of years ago, for the avid listeners that have been with the show from the start, which we're 3 years old now.
Yes.
Jeepers. For the avid listeners that have been part of the show from the start, we were the first the first radio station to interview Jenna Lowe. And it was great because I got in contact with her mother, Gabby, during the launch. It was like in the first 2 days, 2 hours that they launched the Get Me to 21 campaign. And I got to meet her, and it was amazing. And that show is available on podcasts if you want to listen to it. She became a Lead SA hero. She changed a lot of perceptions in South Africa. I believe she did very good things. And one of the people that she looked up to was Fawn Rogers, who I thought was an actress, because that's a very Fawn Rogers, that's my name, yo. And unfortunately, Jenna Lowe passed away, and it was incredibly sad, and we were all heartbroken by it, those who knew her and those who knew about the campaign. And the one night I was at Billy the Bums, and it was a couple of weeks after Jenna Lowe had passed. And I was at Billy the Bums, and I was drinking and having a good time, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And my friend Travis, who interrupted my show, he introduced me to Fawn Rogers. and I started crying in the middle of Billy's. I was like...
At 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, just messy drunk.
Messy drunk.
But I got to meet Fawn, and not only did I get to meet her, but I now call her a friend, which is flipping cool. And I got involved with the organ donation side. I see what's going on in South Africa and the world and why it is important. How did you get involved in Love Life, Gift Life?
Well, I had got my lung transplant 4 years ago, and I think after you've received such an amazing gift, it changes your perspective of life. And I kind of, I just had this thing inside me that said I had to give back somehow. And it's a bit difficult to do that when you sort of don't know how. And then I sort of met Shay, another friend of mine, Alice, and another friend, Siobhan, and we all had the same feeling. And we kind of just decided that we can make a difference. And if we got together and combined our forces, we could share our stories and share other people's stories and hopefully change people's perception of organ donation.
And all four of you have had, you've received.
Lungs.
You've been the recipients of lungs.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Four of us.
So like someone once said, we're probably the most elite to get into because if you haven't received lungs,
you're not going to be getting it.
You can't sit with us, yeah.
Yeah.
But Shay, how long ago was is a lung-iversary? How many years?
So I actually only received my transplant last year. So I'm still quite new. I'm probably the newest of the group, but yeah, I did get it last year.
Oh my word.
Okay. And I know Fawn's story, so it's a little bit difficult for me to delve into it. Although I do Google her sometimes and just go read like her discovery stuff and her blogs and all the things that she does. It's not a simple thing. Like, Fawny, you were sick for many, many, many years.
Yeah, so, I mean, everyone is obviously affected differently, but in my case, I was very, very ill. I mean, I was bedridden for about a year before my transplant. I mean, I was completely just full of tubes and just barely human, and then I received lungs, and now you wouldn't even know that I had a transplant. So, they say, obviously, it saves a life, but it actually gives you a life, because before you don't, well, in my case, I didn't really have a life, so... So, yeah, it's an amazing thing. And Shay's story is completely different, but also has changed her life.
Yes. No, I wasn't... I wasn't born sick. I developed sort of my disease in my sort of mid-20s. And I was quite sort of stable with it for a number of years. And then about three years ago, it started progressing. And mine went very quickly. So within a year, I lost all my lung function. And... So it wasn't as long as Fawn's, but also towards the last few weeks, I was pretty much in bed or wheelchair, tied to an oxygen machine the whole time. So, so now I'm also back to normal.
Both
to being a mom and doing things again. So it's really great.
It's those second chances that you've been able to get. Yes. If one of the things about the show and the people that I interview, one of the biggest things is charities and organizations only matter to someone when it's close to them.
So that's
when it's personal, when it's the biggest thing. So let me ask you, before you got sick and before all of this that you went through, did you consider organ donation? Was that part of your existence?
Before I was even diagnosed, I've always been pro-organ donation, but I would definitely say it's become more of a passion since I went through it. And I think, like you said, that is natural. But, yes, I've always been pro-organ donation in the past, in any case.
So for me, I'm always open and honest about everything that I do and everything that I am. But before I met both Jen and Fawn, it wasn't that I was against it. I just never had acted upon it. I'd never considered what that would mean to someone else or to me. Or it had never been part of my direct point of thinking. And now it is. Like if I meet people and that discussion comes up, I'm always like, you have to. There's not even two ways about it. If I could change the world and if things could be a little bit different, I would say that everybody should be organ donors and you need to be asked to be removed from the list. That would be like an ideal situation.
Yeah, that opt-out system.
You just are. Like,
that is a good idea.
Our bodies are, this is just a vehicle. Yes. And when I go, if I can give parts of my vehicle, obviously I don't think my liver or my kidney are going to go anywhere, but everything else I don't mind. I mean,
things
even if
could change,
even if they can take my liver, just take whatever you can and give it to other people, because it's offering second chances to you know, and if it's the other way around, if I'm in a situation where I need it, you know, you can't then not be on the organ donor list. It just doesn't make sense. One of the things that I want to bring up is recent. And it's a South African movie. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Everybody's speaking about it. Good Things Guy got to report on it, which I was super thankful for, that we sort of debunked the myths. But there's this movie that's come out called Bypass, where people are... The movie is... like, it really paints a bad picture, right?
Yeah.
You guys went to the premiere.
Yeah, so we were invited to the premiere, and we were excited to see, you know, proudly South African movie and all of that. So, you know, taking the organ donation side out of it, it was a great movie, and, you know, we thought the acting and the directors was very, it was a very good movie.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in terms of organ donation, it did paint a bad picture. And one of the issues that we face on a day-to-day basis is people believing in myths and having these misconceptions and fears about organ donation. And the movie, unfortunately, played directly into those fears. Yeah, so we were a bit concerned about that, and we have seen quite a lot of negative...
Well, I'll tell you, we put up the article, and one of the first posts that I got was from someone who went, yes, but have you seen this in Cape Town? You can go to this website and buy organs on the black market. And I had to literally go... No, that was the movie's marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they did to do a PR stunt, which is so clever in a boardroom behind paper, but in reality, it's a shit show. Like, I feel sometimes when we write, and I'm learning, it's been 21 months, I'm learning about the whole journalism side and content creation. You have a responsibility.
Yeah.
And when you remove that responsibility and you just go out there guns blazing, there's going to be casualties.
Mm.
For real.
Well, especially, I think, on such a sensitive topic, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And, I mean, transplantation is sensitive because you're literally dealing with people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, if you paint a bad picture and it affects transplant rate, there are people on the waiting list who won't get a transplant in time.
Yeah.
How long is a waiting list? If someone, I mean, how long is a piece of string? I guess it's different for each. But if you had to put on an average of, if I had to get incredibly sick today and they had to go, you need lungs.
Yeah.
How long would I wait for?
So, I mean, the list is a bit of a complicated thing because it isn't sort of you know, your number 21 on the list. So they kind of rate you. So, for example, in my case, I was rated as priority. So they said, we need to get this girl lungs yesterday.
Mm.
And I waited 8 months. So when you look at it that way, it's a very, very long time. Where someone can be listed and they're relatively healthy, so they kind of sort of keep them waiting up to 4 years. So it really depends. But the bottom line is that not everyone gets the organ that they're waiting for.
How many... okay, I've got so many questions. How many people are on the list? And not waiting, how many people are organ donors? Do we know in South Africa?
So, I mean, the statistic they use is 4,300, but I mean, that hasn't been updated for quite a long time, and it excludes a lot of people that actually can't get on the list because it's too long. So, I mean, I think that would be your minimal figure, and people get added to it every day. So there's definitely, the list is growing faster than people are getting organs.
But I think the list also doesn't include, like you were saying, those who actually need transplants, but, for example, rely on sort of the public health system, and then also can't have dialysis because there's a limited number of dialysis machines.
No.
So they don't even get a chance to even get listed.
Yeah.
What is the ratio? I mean, I'm privileged. I've got medical aid. I can go to a private hospital.
Mm.
If you are not and you're in a government sort of position, what are the chances of you getting an organ?
So they don't do all the organs. So I was in the public health system, and they don't do lung transplants. It's just, I mean, our ops cost up to 2 million rand, and they can't justify spending that on one person when that can help. You know, it's not considered primary health care. They'd rather provide primary health care to other people. So they basically said to me, if you don't get our medical aid, you don't get a transplant. So, yeah, like you said, we're very privileged. So that statistic doesn't include the many, many people that will never even get the opportunity to be listed. So it is a very
And then I suppose
situation.
There's the challenge as well with the medical aid that will take you.
Yes, so then once you are in medical aid, not all medical aids do actually, it's a very expensive op, but generally they are quite...
I think the whole process is quite daunting and sort of the statistics are quite scary to realize that there's that many people waiting and there's only X amount of people that are joining the organ donation list.
Mm.
But yours is a good story.
Yes.
And the initiative that you've started, the organization... is your main aim to get people to join the organ donation list? Like, what is your mission for Love Life, Gift Life?
So when we first started Love Life Gift Life, we were aware that there's a shortage of donors. That's sort of a very obvious thing that we were aware of. But we did a lot of research. I mean, I think we spent the first year of our time.
Just sort of interviewing relevant people, speaking to transplant coordinators, hospital heads. We really tried to sort of get the background on transplantation from accurate sources, I should say. Yeah,
so we identified that there isn't only an issue with donors, there's an issue on every level, like you said, from getting, you know, getting medical aid authorization, then getting the doctors to actually refer donors, and then actually the transplant, and there's so many barriers to having a successful transplant. It's very scary, and I'm glad we've all had ours, because looking back, it makes it even more incredible. So, yes, one of our aims is to get people to, we don't say register, because unfortunately in South Africa, if you are a registered organ donor, your family can override that. So, which is
whoa! That's something shock. I didn't know. Like, I'm involved in this, and I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Your family can override it.
So most people think once you're registered and you've got your sticker, you're an organ donor. But unfortunately, at time of death, at the transplant sort of coordinators approach your family and they say, "We're sorry for your loss. Do you wish to donate your son's organs?" And your family have the say. They can say yes or no, and it doesn't matter if you're on the list or not. So our drive is to say, speak to your family if this is something that you believe in, and you've seen stories like us, and you know it can make a difference. Speak to your family and say, "Mom, Dad, you know, I really am passionate about organ donation. Please recycle my organs when I do pass," because they make the decision.
That's what I just reiterate. Yeah. If you're listening right now and you are an organ donor and you care about organ donation, just send a little family WhatsApp. I'm in a family WhatsApp group. I'm going to send it to them right now. I'm going to be like, I'm an organ donor.
Just saying.
Best you give my parts away.
And I think another thing to mention is that's anyone in your family. So even like your grandmother, you can have literally 10 people saying yes, and if one member of your family says no, then they still won't take your organs.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and that is one of the things long-term that we are working to sort of change, because that's a huge issue. So you've got everyone that are donors, but then come time of death, they're not. So, I mean, one
Does
of the
Does this matter on the age of the person?
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay. So you can be, 80 years old and donate, but, you know, if you're 80 years old, someone like me probably won't get your lungs, because the lifespan of those lungs are a bit shorter than my lifespan. Yeah. So they just match accordingly. I just want to mention...
There are people in their 70s receiving transplants.
Yes,
and
so they'll match
until their 90s.
Yeah.
So there's no age limit at all.
Very, very, very
interesting. I'm definitely going to look into this.
So the aim of the agency or the organization is first and foremost education. Education and awareness.
Yes.
And what sort of campaigns are you running this year? What are we looking forward to for the future in 2017?
So this year, we've got quite a few campaigns on the go, but as we've realized as a charity, when you don't have money, you can't really make any of your campaigns come to life. So one of our campaigns that we're trying to do to raise awareness and to raise funding for our organization is we are going to be involved in the 94.7 Cycle Challenge. Mm. So we are, we've got...
When Fawn says we, she means me as well.
Yes. Our honorary Love Life Gift Life member. The only non-lung transplant.
I got into the group because I care about it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cycle for you guys, and I'm going to wear the kit, and I'm going to shout it out loud, and we're going to have a big fat jaw. But those are one of the cool campaigns this year, which we're excited for.
Yeah. So that's one of our on the funding side and education side. And then
we've been working on some really nice awareness posters that we've sort of wrapping up and going to the design stage, and we're hoping to take to the hospitals and pharmacies and basically anywhere that will display them. Mm-hmm. And, that's been a nice project. And we're working on educational brochures. We've been going and doing presenting and talks at hospitals. Vaughan and Alice just have recently done one in Pretoria. Wow. So, we've been working really hard on awareness and educating, especially medical professionals and first responders, the EMS staff. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Just going back to the posters, another thing that makes us a bit different is, as we said earlier, we've all received lung transplants. So the people on our posters, you know, you often do see posters promoting organ donation. And everything we do, we've used real recipients. So all our posters
It's not like an actor.
No model.
No, saying, you know, real thank people. You. It's They're all real people with families and grandkids. Images. And so I think that also just makes it'll hit home a bit more, because, like we said earlier, if it hasn't affected you, you don't really care. So hopefully by tapping into people...
We're very much about the person. personal element.
Yeah. Well, you are. Last year, you did the campaign, and I don't think you thought it would get as big as it did.
It was our first campaign.
Save seven.
Yes.
When you had friends, family, anybody that was connected to hold up signs to say... Thank you. My mate is here because of someone donating organs. So
just to show the spread of, like, you're saving seven lives, but you're affecting so many.
We'd only been running for about 6 weeks when the campaign started.
campaign.
So it gave us a bit of a fright.
Yeah.
So it was really great.
We'll be doing that a good shot
this year.
Yes. A fright is such a terrible word. I think what it did is it made you realize that it was important.
Yeah.
It was important.
No, that's right.
The work that you were, I mean, it was frightful, but it was a real good, the universe going, yes. What you're doing is 100% correct.
Yes.
If people want to get in touch, if they want to follow you, if they want to sort of see what's going on and join the campaigns, and hopefully if corporates want to throw money at you, where do they go?
So we're on all the social media platforms, but our website is www.lovelifegiftlife.co.za. So I think that's probably the easiest, and then you can find us from there.
It's that easy. Thank you for being on the show today.
Okay, thanks so much.
If you guys want to hear more, we're going to be on Gary Hertzberg's show 12, all of us. We're just going to be sitting chatting and all over again because that's how we roll. This is the good stuff on Clip Central. Are you an organ donor?
I am now.
What do you mean you are now?
I'm going to be now. I'm completely blown away.
Okay, also, I must just say that she said this on a public platform, so you can't take it back.
No, it's done.
Can't be one of those people that gifts and then take them back.
It's done.
Yeah. Oi. Mm-hmm. All right, so every start of the month, we get the girls from Huddle Up in the studio. If you don't know what Huddle Up is, it's a dating site for charities. I called it that. I named it that. I trademarked it that.
It's stuck.
The girls find really... cool, charitable, actually Love Life, Gift Life. Can you go speak to them afterwards?
Yeah, we're definitely now.
Thank you. So they find charities and then they find corporates and businesses and they marry the two. So it's a dating site for charities. They're also my friends and we get to hang out once a month.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Paige made it because she doesn't understand WhatsApp.
Thumbs up emoticon goes a few ways in my brain.
WhatsApp is a slight problem in her world and mine. I hate texting. So I'd rather send you like an emoticon. She sends voice notes all the time. Paigey sent me a long letter yesterday on WhatsApp and asked me, are we on for the show tomorrow? Is everything lekker? Are we doing it? And I just sent her that thumbs up emoticon. I was like, yes. That's and then this morning she texted me or WhatsApped me again. Listen, I'm like an old man. She texted me this morning.
SMS.
She SMS'd me. And she said, what did she say? I'm a little confused. Are we on today or next week?
Are you letting us know?
What does a thumbs up actually mean? Ha ha. And I was like, thumbs up means yes.
Seeing you today, now in an hour. Yeah.
Now we know. Thank you.
Your
attention to detail, just to confirm.
Well, welcome to the studio. We're in the big studio again.
Oh, this is lovely.
It's nerve-wracking.
No, it's a little bit more intimidating, this studio.
Come on, Chris.
The other one's a little bit more
square meters really puts it on you.
I think it's because we've got the glass.
People are watching
and they are all judging. Yeah, all of them. They're like, listen to that girl's voice. How random.
No pressure, girls.
That's how when I go silent, I just get paged all the time.
Tell us, what has been happening in the world of Huddle Up?
Oh my gosh. So we've actually got quite a bit to catch up on. We're going to be talking about our trip to Mpumalanga in a bit, but a bit of a catch up. We are doing a feeding scheme in northern Shoshanguve with Adams and Adams, with a place called Banabakhosi. And we're feeding over 1,000 kids daily.
Wow.
And we are doing the feeding scheme is also purchasing through Sazani Foods. And we've gone there for two site visits, and it's not just a community center. It's literally these guys are getting involved in terms of any form of psychological evaluation for some of the kids, helping them with some of the violence that's going on around, some of the skills development. So that these guys are truly involved, and it's wonderful to be working with such well-organized initiatives.
Paige, it's the big word that we always use when you come in, sustainable.
Sustainable. Mm-hmm.
That's what you girls do best. You make sustainable difference, and that's a huge part for it to carry on for many, many, many years to come.
The center really is the heart of the community. I mean, you can see from the field workers
which are basically like social care workers, the work that they do on a daily basis with the families. I mean, there's 11 field workers that have an average of 26 families they have to visit on a daily basis. Sure. So they go into these homes to ensure that these kids are looked after, that they're fed, that they're coming to school. So yeah, it's a massive job. Mm. So we take our hats off to them and really admire the work that they do. Yeah.
I admire the work you do, and now you've gotten involved with them, which means you're making a difference.
Yes. Yeah.
Boom. That would amazing. Be the first
one of the
first
emoticons. Hands up there. Emoticons 101.
Yeah. And then also just a bit of an update, our project with Abland, the one that we, when you called us in, when was it, last month?
Yeah.
Hawk Academy also, there's a school there, about 700 kids. We're doing a full-on school upgrade. We are painting and renovating the classrooms. Kirst awesome. Was there on a site visit the other day, putting up a jungle gym.
We installed a jungle gym. Yeah. You should have seen how excited the kids
Yay!
Were.
Yeah.
Teacher was trying to give a class, and these kids were all like peering outside the door, like watching this jungle gym being
installed.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Teacher was like, you've just got to let them finish watching. It's like, sure, they're not going to concentrate.
It is. So, I mean, that's in my world.
Yes.
Like, I grew up in schools where we had the jungle gym. That's so small, but it's so big.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so yeah. Very cool. Special.
But also what's happening there with Abland, they're doing the infrastructural changes with the school, but also helping out a lot with the psychological side with what the kids are going through.
Sure.
They are in an underprivileged area right next to a township, and a lot of the kids as young as 5 have been going through violent situations. So it's about addressing that and being able to
support.
Let those kids know that they're not alone. And the teachers that are working at Hawk Academy are very impressive, and they're really hands-on. And it's a family literally running the school with next to nothing, doing what they can with what they have. So it's amazing
stuff.
That Abland is also there supporting.
So if there's any other companies that are out there that do want to get involved, there is a lot of work that needs to be done at the school. I mean, we have to build classrooms. It's endless. Toilets, hostels, rooms, things like, yeah.
If there are corporates and individuals that want to get in touch and maybe throw money at you, or more so throw time.
Yeah.
Time is something that I'm slowly realizing is one of the most important commodities that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have time and you're able to give time and give your time to a cause like this, how do they get involved?
They can contact us at HuddleUp. So my email address is kirst@huddleup.co.za.
And I'm page@huddleup.co.za. But we do have one more story about the Alpha Mile story.
Okay, quickly.
So, yeah, do you want to start?
Yeah, so a few weeks ago we were up in Mpumalanga and we installed waterless toilets for a creche.
What? Yeah, entirely waterless.
Entirely waterless toilets. There's 69 kids and they had one toilet, which was a long drop.
Yeah.
So we installed these waterless toilets, 2 junior toilets, 3 senior, so the little kiddies have the little toilets to sit on.
Very
and as they get older,
amazing.
They can use the older toilets. And then we also did 2 classroom makeovers where we cleaned the classrooms from top to bottom, painted them bright, colorful colors, and then put them back together really nicely.
Sure. Love what you girls are doing.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Cool. So it's huddleup.co.za today. If you guys want to get involved, I'm going to kick them out of studio because we just never have enough time. I said at the beginning of the show that we were bringing in Lara Gear, who I'm going to turn her microphone on. You're coming forward. Please, contestant number 7, please step forward. And you've brought someone with you.
Yeah, we recently released a new song called Viral, and this is the magical producer I worked with. His name is Lacko.
Hey, Lacko.
Lacko. Thank you,
Lacko. Nice to have you here, you magical producer.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm looking for a new producer because that producer in the back, she doesn't even listen to the show.
Oh, God.
Oh, she does.
She's giving you the eye.
I love you. I don't need a new producer. I was just joking. All right, so I met you at 4S Farmers Market,
and
you were singing, and I was like, voice of an angel.
Thank you very much.
She needs to come and talk about who the hell she is and what she's doing. Where did you fall out of?
Oh.
Wow.
Are you from Joburg?
Originally I'm from Joburg, but then in beginning of high school I moved to Mpumalanga. So that hit home, and that was such a beautiful story, girls. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad I actually moved to Mpumalanga because that's where my music sort of took off, because there's a really cool place there called Casterbridge Music Academy. And what's really cool about them is they put bands together, they teach performance techniques, and you expand as an artist. And it's really incredible. So thanks to Mama and Papa for making that decision. So that's where I moved to, and then I moved back to Joburg to follow through with my music.
Now you're gigging. So
yeah,
So
last year I was on The Voice, and I think that was probably the next big platform. And now it's season two of The Voice, and now everything's sort of picking up again. They're like, oh yeah, who was in season one? Oh, that blonde chick, what was her name? And they're like, Lauren. I'm like, Laura. So everything's slowly picking up again.
Very cool.
Which is great.
Very cool. And I mean, you sing well.
Thank you.
There's that too.
Oh, I mean, I hope so. I'm in the wrong industry.
And yourself as a producer, how did you get into it?
Well, I used to play guitar and drums in rock bands when I was younger, and then I kind of started producing music, and now I work as a composer.
Oh wow.
So I can literally write music the whole day.
I mean, when you find what your passion is, when you find what you absolutely love, you give. You can't do more than 100% because it's not statistically right, but you give like a million percent.
You do.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see creatives creating and making really cool content and doing their things. Your music, do you have an album? Do you put up SoundCloud?
Yeah,
what do you do?
So my friends are there, were like, Lara, we're listening to, because I used to, in Mpumalanga, I used to upload really quirky videos onto YouTube, and I looked back at them the other day and I was like, oh my god, I mumble and like go on so much before the beginning of the video, and eventually I get to the song, and then I was listening to my voice, I was like, holy crap, I was so young. And I haven't released anything besides Viral recently, but yeah, I mean, my stuff's on YouTube.
So are you a YouTuber?
I wouldn't call it that. I wasn't good enough for that name. I didn't earn the YouTube name.
Listen, I've just gotten involved with YouTube. It's been a 5-week whirlwind of a process. So here's the thing that I've realized.
Yeah.
I am not a radio host.
Okay.
And I am not a writer.
Yeah. I mean, your brain's here.
I'm not a YouTuber. I'm a content creator.
Ooh.
And so are you.
Oh, fantastic.
And that's all you need to know.
I'm going to get a label, put that on my desk.
You're a content creator, and whatever, when you wake up in the morning and you have this creativity inside of you, whichever way you release it, you're creating content.
Exactly.
So that's my new name. I'm a content creator, which is what I think it is and what it should be.
Yeah.
I want you to sing. I want you to sing for your supper.
I bought for my supper. Oh, God. I love eating.
I want people to hear what I heard. But before we do that, I'm not gonna let you string your air guitar yet.
Okay.
I need people to know where to go to find you.
Yeah. So I just wanna fix it. There we go. So you can go on. I wouldn't go on YouTube because that stuff's super old. SoundCloud is also really old, but you can go there. SoundCloud. I generally try and keep my Facebook very updated. You can check out.
Is it Laura Gear? Laura Gear?
Don't you dare. It's Laura Gear. Yeah, so Laura like Lara Croft, and then Gear like a car gear. Not like Richard Gear. A lot of people are like, oh my God, are you related to Richard Gear? I'm like, no, I mean, it's such a big world. Why? Our surnames aren't even the same.
Cool. Well, we're gonna put links to your Facebook.
Great,
and I'm going to go YouTube stalk you.
Oh, no,
If you're creating content.
I speak about
content,
my cats. You don't need to see that stuff.
I need I need you to get back onto YouTube. I think video is a big medium.
You know what? I used to use my dad's camera as my camera. But then he left it. He went to do some work at a school, and he left it in the cafeteria, and he turned away, and then
it was gone.
It was gone. So I was like, oh, Dad, you ruined my whole music career.
It's okay. You got that guy there.
Yeah, well, this is new.
iPhones, they rock.
Yeah, I can't do the cool editing thing where I jump from one scene to the next scene.
I'll teach you. I'll teach you.
Goddamn,
we're going to put all of this online. I cannot believe the hour's over. We actually don't know where the time goes. I waffle too much is my biggest problem. You've tuned into The Good Stuff on Cliff Central, and we spent the show chatting about a bunch of good news, good things, good stuff. The good stuff I had a little bit of a swallow there. I almost choked on myself. The Good Stuff is proudly brought to you by Brand South Africa's Play Your Part initiative. Brand South Africa, inspiring new ways. If you want to play your part and get involved or know someone who does, visit www.brandsouthafrica.com for more info. Before you sing, I leave our listeners with a little bit of something every week just to sort of get them through the day or through the week. And this is it. It's very short this week. Remember, you're enough. You're worth the time. You'll get there. You're still becoming, and you've still got a hell of a lot of work left to do. That's the good stuff for this week. We're going to play out with a little song. I hope it's as good as it was at Four Ways Farmers Market.
I mean, now you're putting the
pressure. And I hope it wasn't just gin in my system.
Oh, well, it might have been. We will find out.
But this is the good stuff. We're going to put all of this online again for you so you can find it. Wishing y'all only good things.
Fabulous week.
Take it away. Do I have to count you down?
No. I mean, will the mic pick up my guitar?
I hope so. Let's do a little test run there.
Okay. Can you?
Yeah, it's sounding good. Give us a sec.
Can I maybe move? Does this
move? So we're moving things around quickly. Just give us a sec. Give us a sec. Oh, much better. And I'm just going to place the camera. Cool, and that's the good stuff on Cliff Central. Tune in next week again, yo.
So the song is called Illuminate, and yeah, you can get it on social media platforms. It's not a beautiful. Brightens up our eyes, and it's not a pretty body, it dampens out the sights. And I'm not perfect, but I know I'll never try. He'll leave me caught up in chains and stained with crimson wine. You snap my strings and break my heart. Silly beings are pushing me too far. And all your clever words confuse my wrongs from my rights. But still your smile illuminates my life. Broken pieces of yesterday's offense leave us hanging while they're scattered everywhere. And I'm not broken, but I know I'll never be whole. Cause this tainted love is taking its toll. You snap my strings and break my heart. Pushing me too far. And all your clever words confuse my wrongs from my rights. But still your smile illuminates my life. Darling, still your smile makes me feel alive. CliffCentral.com.